May. This is the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 73. Welcome from the House, Representative Kelly, Representative Meyer, Representative Grunberg from the Senate side, Senator Guess, Senator Huggins, and myself, Senator Wilkin. The purpose of today's meeting is to consider the differences between Senate Bill 73. At the outset, I'll say I've never done this before, so bear with me. I have my notes from Tam, and I think most of them are correct, so we'll walk through this. At the end of the day, we would like to do two things. We would like to ask the Speaker and the President for limited powers of free conference by this letter, and then this is our Conference Committee report with whatever the action is we take on this particular product. We're going to start with the two versions that are to reconcile, and then we're going to bring forward, as a result of the discussions over the last couple of weeks, we're going to bring forward a Conference Committee substitute, which we'll discuss for all to ask whatever questions. Hopefully then we will pass out the Conference Committee substitute, and when limited powers of free conference are granted, the Conference Committee substitute will be lying on the table and will be adopted as our work product. So that's where we're headed. Let's start first with acknowledging that we have the House version, the Senate version, which is F.A, and that is the committee substitute for Senate Bill 73, Finance Amended. That went to the House, and it was amended into committee substitute for Senate Bill 73, Finance Amended House, and that's version F.A.A. If you turn to this spreadsheet, it looks like this. This shows the differences, and there are four different groups of differences, actually three different. Line 2, 3, 4, and 13 are common to the two bills. The first column is the bill that went to the House. The middle column, C column, is the bill as it was amended by the House. And the E column is the Conference Committee substitute results. So 2, 3, 4, and 13 are agreed upon, so they're not a subject of our discussion today. If you look, the remainder of the differences are embodied in two groups of lines. The first is line number 5. That line has to do with bond indebtedness for school debt reimbursement, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. That was a result of the floor amendment number 1 and number 3 on the House side. If you turn to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, those all have to do with the Garvey issue that was added on the House side. So what I'd like to do is ask Senator Huggins to move that we eliminate references in our discussion today to items 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, thus removing any reference to the Garvey Amendment as presented by the House.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Is there objection to removing the Garvey issues from our discussion?
Object.
Okay, Senator Guest, to your objection, please.
Although from what I've seen in the past capital budgets, all of the Garvey issues got taken care of, it looked like this morning's version, and I haven't seen the latest version, doesn't have Lake Otis and Tudor in it. And so if I'm going to represent my community, I need to object to taking the Garveys out unless I'm being told that Lake Otis and Tudor got back in the latest part of the capital budget.
Representative Meyer, are you aware of any changes having to do with Lake Otis and Tudor?
We just got the latest version of the capital budget, and Lake Otis and Tudor is not included.
Okay. Senator Guest has maintained your objection?
Yes, please.
Okay, and I would speak against the amendment. With that, further discussion, on the amendment, further objection, I would speak against the objection. So, with that, call the roll, please, Mindy.
Representative Grunberg?
Is it yes in favor? Are you making an objection?
I'm objecting to removing the Garveys.
Okay, so I object also.
You vote yes and you agree with her that you would like to have the Garveys removed.
No, the motion. I mean, I would love it, keep going.
No, you'd be a no.
You'll be a no. Yes, thank you.
I vote no, thank you.
So what the motion is?
Motion was to remove. And so a yes removes and a no.
My vote is no.
There we are. Thank you. Mindy?
Senator Guest?
No.
Representative Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Huggins?
Yes.
Representative Meyer?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins?
Yes.
Four yeas, two nays.
Thank you. And with that, further reference to Garvey's is removed from our discussion today. We're going to go now to the issue of the school bond reimbursement that we have on the table. Did we ask that the House version be adopted as well?
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move that the proposed version as amended, which is FA.A.
Excuse me. We won't need to do that because we've already passed that step. So what we'd like to do then is we've removed the Garvey reference. We now want to turn to line number 5, which is the bonded or the school debt reimbursement. And we'd like to address that through a conference committee substitute, which I have and you have in your packet. And that is version S. So to turn our attention to that and to discuss that, Senator Huggins, could I ask you to move that we adopt the conference committee substitute for Senate Bill 73, version S, as our working document?
I move, or correction, version S, conference committee.
I'll object for discussion.
Thank you, Senator Guest. Okay, if we'll turn to version S, I'll walk you through it. And ask Sheila to throw a paperclip at me if I don't do it correctly. Yeah, and Eddie is here. Eddie, you want to join us just in case you have any questions? On page 1, the first change is we have deleted references to Garvey in the title. Still on page 1, section 1 has to do with the virology lab, so that's existing language. Section 2 is in the House Amendment 13, that's existing statute, so no changes there. Go to page 5, if you would. At the bottom of page 5, there's a new section, Quebec Q. Paragraph 13 brings on the issue of 7030, bonded indebtedness, that will be covered in the authorization that we'll talk to here in just a moment. Turn the page to page 6.
May I just
Representative Gruenberg.
I assume, just to cut to the chase here, that sections 2 and 3 of the Free Conference Committee, CES, is the same as sections 2 and 3 of the House passed.
That's correct. That's right. Correct. Okay. Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Back to page 6, paragraph number 14 is the same as 13, other than the fact this contemplates 60-40 rather than 70-30.
Where are we?
Page 6. Paragraph 14. Lines 6 through 13. So paragraph 13 is 70-30, paragraph 14 is 60-40. Okay. Traveling on to page 7 is section 4. Section 4 has a new subsection to read. And you'll see that starting on page 8 through the middle of page 9, is the spreadsheet, and with your indulgence, let's just pass over that for the moment and come back to that. Continuing on to page 9, the line section 5 is the virology lab, as is section 6 on page 10. That is all virology lab language. In this conference committee substitute, subject to what we have just done with the Garveys, this conference committee substitute deletes 6 through 11, which is references to the Garvey and the House bond, House bill. And then section 7 is an immediate effective date, both for the virology lab and for bonded debt reimbursement. So leaving open for the moment the discussion of the debt reimbursement, are there any other questions on the committee substitute, knowing we're going to come back to section 4? Okay. If we'll turn into Section 4, Section 4 is reflected in this spreadsheet. You'll notice that lines 2 on page 8 through line 15 on page 9 are various projects in Organized Alaska, the total $1,191,900,000. For the purposes of the bill, we rounded off to the nearest $1,000. So they are not exactly, but they're very close. If you want to look, if there's any questions on this, and I would remind the committee that this is available bonding. In any way, a school district, Eddie helped me with this, any way a school district may wish to spend their money. So if we just look, let's go to Fairbanks, and Eddie, correct me if I'm wrong. What this says to me is that we have authorization for $20 million under the 70-30 or the 60-40 plan. We can authorize these three projects or any other projects we wish, as long as we don't exceed the $20 million. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. $20 million in principle.
Okay, so, Senator Guess? Or is he mine?
I had a question. I don't know if you want to take questions now or.
Let me spin down through this and see if there's any other things I should talk about on this. I would remind the committee that the effective or the lapse date of this legislation is October 31st, 2006. So for the people in Anchorage, that would allow a single election next April. For others around the state that have fall elections, there would be two bites at the apple. And I think anything else on there, Sheila? Representative Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, two questions. Then since half of our committee here represents Anchorage, looking at the Anchorage section, there's almost $62 million. So if Anchorage wanted to instead use this money for a Clark Junior High at $50 million, they could so do that. Is that correct?
Through the chair, that's correct.
Okay. And the second question I have, Mr. Chairman, was we had a brief conversation this morning, and maybe it's in the bill here, and I just haven't a chance to read it yet. Some areas are 90-10.
That's amendment number one.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
We'll come to that here in just a second, Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Grunberg, you have amendment number two that addresses this spreadsheet. Would you like to offer that now?
I have some questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Guest, you're back.
Go through this. In the debt reimbursement sections, AS 1407-020-A11, they have to either be reviewed or approved or reviewed under the section. Is that I'm sorry, page 6, line 4 and line 13. It references that the projects that are going to be reimbursed have to either be approved or reviewed by, I'm guessing it's the school construction and major maintenance process.
Okay.
Through the chair, Senator Guest, what Section 13 requires is a review by the department that the projects meet our space eligibility guidelines to qualify for the 70% reimbursement. So, yes, there's a two-step approval process, one by the local voters and then one by the Department of Education.
So if I'm making changes so I can understand the section, are approved under AS 1407-020-A11. Is that the space or is that, I want us at least to fully understand when you say it's any 20 million, if it's any 20 million or if it's having to get on a state of Alaska list and before it be bonded with.
Whatever so. Eddie says, Senator Guest, I agree with.
We'll have a talk about that later.
He doesn't know where to fish, but other than that, he knows that book.
Yeah, I know.
Is duties of the department and requires the department to review plans for construction of new and existing or major maintenance rehabilitation of existing facilities. So that is the department's review of the plans.
So, Eddie, if a project is not on, is not submitted to you, because not every district submits all the projects, but is not submitted to you and has not been reviewed, it cannot be reimbursed under this new conference.
Through Through the chair, Senator Guest, that's not true. They have to submit an application for us to review and to make a determination on what the eligible reimbursement amount is. So they will use the same application that they use for our CIP priority list. They will use that application. They could submit it to us before they take it to the voters. They could submit it to us after they take it to the voters. But we would have to review that project, make the determination of eligibility level, and then the project would be approved, either under 70.
So is there a time issue? I just want to make sure, because I don't know who submits what. I know about the review process, but who submits what to make sure it falls underneath this? Are we running into any time problems on if Lake and Penn decides that it's not these three, but it's another one, that they have to get an application to you to then review and to fall under the October 31st, 2006 deadline?
Through the chair, Senator Guest, you're correct. They would have to submit an application prior to October 31st of 2006 to be eligible.
So they have to submit an application before that time and have voter approval?
They can submit it to us anytime.
Anytime in that. Okay, right. So it doesn't have to be before or after.
Follow the same CIP process, the September 1 deadline.
Okay, that's what I wanted to. Okay, I just needed to clarify that. And Mr. Chairman, if you or Eddie would just tell me, I appreciate Representative Meyer, and I know where he was going with his comment on Anchorage, even though I don't see. But how did you all determine these levels? So, because it looked like, and there was a lot of discussion in the building, that it was just going to be major maintenance, but I see school construction for some areas and major maintenance for other areas, and Anchorage does have half the population. So I'm just wondering how you came up with, I guess, at least for Anchorage, the $61 million, and how you determined the rest of the list.
This list is a compilation of three different bills. One is all the bonded indebtedness on the major maintenance list, one through 71. It is projects that came out of Senate Bill 155, and it's projects that came out of Senate Bill 46, 97.
Okay.
So one of those bills. All of these projects came from one of those three sources. Obviously they're all organized Alaska, and they, in order to have this pass muster with our governor, he wanted to be at a constrained tranche of bills, of bonds, and so this limits by time and by amount what he has agreed to in order to have this go forward.
I appreciate that, and I would never ask you, Senator Wilkin, to speak for the governor.
Thank you.
But I haven't been in any of the discussions, so I've always understood the time limits, and I guess what I don't understand is the amount limits and why there's been amount limits all of a sudden. Just traditionally, we haven't done debt reimbursement that way, and what's the logic behind the amount?
When we passed in special session House Bill 2003, some years ago, that was the first concept of 60-40 and 70-30, the 60-40 mm-hmm. being a much less stringent bar across which it was passed to go to the voters. That addition to the normal bonded indebtedness, which was open-ended, gave us about $752 million in obligations that are currently out. That's starting to come in now. That increased our debt service by almost 90% from 04 to 05, so we were handed that new debt. And I think I can speak, at least what I've, as the legislation has marched through, the department has said, could we just take a time out from issuing more? Because Eddie, I think, would say that he's a bit concerned, as am I and others, that we are going to get ourselves so far in debt that we want to make sure we have some sort of constraint, because we're looking at $1 billion in school debt reimbursement. So that's what's led to, first, we aren't going to do a House Bill 13 type, to a point where, in order to move us forward this year, the governor has agreed to have time constraints and dollar constraints. Eddie, how did I do on that one?
You did very well, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to point out,
please,
sir,
yes, please, sir.
The prior two authorizations under the DEF program did have allocation limits similar to this bill. And it wasn't until we got into House Bill 2003, 2 years ago, that the DEP program was opened wide open again without any limits whatsoever. And that's when we incurred over $700 million in outstanding liabilities. So,
Mr. Chair, it might have been cheaper just to build Eagle River, that school. So I guess my question, because I had issues with this in the 2003 bill, although I know why it happened, is I guess what was the thought behind having the 60-40? I mean, the state has a good review process to see if things are eligible. I know why we broke from tradition, whatever year that was, 3 years ago. So if the 60-40, which I think has been the problem, versus the 70-30, why are we continuing with the 60-40 approach?
It's been useful for those people that have chosen to use it. I don't know why.
Someone's going to pay 60% of any house I buy, it probably.
And I think Mr. Jeans can answer that better than any of us, why some schools qualify 60-40 and others are 70-30. I do have a question of Senator Wilkins is absolutely right. This whole process has just been one of compromise. I think the Senate had wanted to do this using the Amerita Hess bonding. The House did not like that particular method, and we preferred to do the House Bill 13, just continuation of the current program. And then we ran into a stumbling block there where the governor said, wait a minute, we got too much debt. And so by limiting, as the chairman said here, the amount and the time, the governor was then on board, and that's how we got to where we're at now. But I do have a question, Eddie, in the sense that if Anchorage, for example, their elections are in April, so if they were to have an election for Clark Junior High or even these projects that are on here, how long would it be before they were actually given the money to do the construction or the maintenance? Is it they make an application afterwards and then they wait another 6 months to get the money, or how does that work?
Through the chair, Representative Meyer, the way it works is they have to get the voter approval, they have to get the Department of Education approval, then it's up to the borough or municipality when they actually issue the bonds. Then they start receiving reimbursement, which typically is twice a year on those bond payments. The catch here is they have to submit a notice to us in October of what their anticipated bond reimbursement needs will be for the subsequent year. So we can build that into our budget that we bring before the legislature. So the debt reimbursement portion of this for school construction, I have a fiscal note here that I prepared. It has a zero fiscal note in FY06 because nobody can notify us of what their needs would be, nor would they be able to get it approved by the voters and issued to qualify for any reimbursement in 06. How much of these actually get approved and the state starts reimbursing on in 07, it is a wild guess. I mean, some of the bonds that were actually approved by the voters in the last go around still have not been issued. So they're still not in our system yet, but they will be coming on board in the next year or two.
So if I may, Mr. Chairman, then the debt that the state incurs on these schools and this school maintenance could be spread out over a 5-year period?
It'll be, through the chair, it'll be 15 to 20.
Yeah.
The minimum they can issue bonds for is 10 years.
Okay.
We're seeing them, typically they're coming in at 15 right now.
And interest rate is low right now?
Interest rates are still low right now, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. I had a sheet of paper. It's kind of interesting. Senator Guest, that from House Bill 2003, of the total amount on this particular report, total amount has been 42.8, 43% has been 60-40 money. So it has been a pretty good, it's been 30% of the projects and 43% of the money. So it has made a difference. And I think we sort of wandered into that not knowing quite what it was going to mean. It added $312 million. So, but people voted for it. It's a need that they have perceived that they had.
Chairman, you think they're cheering for different teams on your statements, it sounds like.
No.
No.
It was just a disagreement, policy disagreement 3 years ago. So
it was something that we've tried, and it may continue. Okay. Senator Guest, other questions?
No. I appreciate you going through.
Representative Bloomberg, this is your amendment number 2 addresses this. Would you like to offer that?
Can you call for the record, just?
Okay. We'll stand at ease.
No, I just need that.
Objection to the appeal.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
No, I just knew when we did that, it was then.
Okay, let's come back on the record. Let's see, we have a motion to adopt the Conference Committee substitute as our working document. Senator Guest objected. Senator Guest, do you maintain your objection?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Any other objection to adopting this version S as our working document? Seeing none. Representative Bloomberg, now, would you like to offer number 2?
Thank you. By the way, thank you for your courtesy and Sheila's courtesy and everybody in working with me on this and my staff. Sarah, I appreciate, by the way. We have an amendment that's labeled number 2, and I'm going to offer it for discussion, and then I'm going to withdraw it.
Okay.
And the reason... May I just go for it?
Sure, you bet. Stand at ease, please.
Well, I would just vote on it, Max.
All right. Okay.
But...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move amendment number 2.
Object for discussion. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. This $51 million is for Clark Middle School, which is the top priority for the Anchorage School District. It happens to be in Senator Guest and my district, but regardless, it's something that's really needed there. The roof is failing. It's seriously in disrepair, and they're going to have to tear it down and build a whole new school. That's what it amounts to. I talked with the superintendent, Carol Como, today. There's no way they can do this in phases for part of the other. So we have to add it on. And it's essential. Our part of town is growing very rapidly, and they're building another school, but they still need to upgrade this school every bit as much as some of the other new schools that are in here. It's a lot more expensive, granted, than the schools in the Matsu or the other areas, but it's a very big school. It's a lot bigger than them, and it serves a large number of the students in Anchorage. That's why the cost. It's estimated to be $51 million. I'm afraid, Mr. Chair, that if we wait, the cost is going to go up, and we'll wind up costing our taxpayers and the state more money. I'd like to see if we can work with the administration to get this included here. It's an extremely important project for the city of Anchorage.
Thank you, Representative Grunberg. Questions on the amendment? I would.
For discussion. I certainly understand that this particular school is a top priority of Anchorage. And to be quite frank, what happened was I didn't get it in the original SB 155 that was going around because it was so big. $50 million would have just sunk the whole bill. In hindsight, that might have been a mistake, because then those projects ended up getting included in the capital budget and then ended up being on this list. But there is enough here in just general maintenance that, and I don't know if Clark can be done in phases, and we could do phase one with $10 million or if we have to do it all at once, and maybe we can postpone some of this other maintenance so that we have the money. Or I think your concern too is that maybe we could see about continuing this program again next year, and we'll have to wait and see until next year. But certainly my hope is, and again, this is one reason why the House did not go with the Senate's version of AMRDA HES bonding, is that we want to have that flexibility to use that $30 million earnings each year for whatever purposes is a priority in any given year. And I think next year we need to really look at using this for debt retirement and bringing some of our debt down. And if we do that, then I think we can convince the governor that we should continue this program. So what we need, Max, is your help and support on AMRDA HES when it comes up for a vote.
We can certainly talk about that, Mr. Chair.
Well, it's already passed, so the program's in place. But I'm just telling you that would be, looking forward to next year, is that I think we do need to revisit this program. I think it's a good program, and I think it's a great opportunity for communities to get schools.
And we've talked about maybe putting in some legislation on that to do that. The problem, and I was hoping when Representative Meyer, our co-chair, talked to me about this last night, it was my hope that we would be able to do part of this year under this cap. And I talked to Superintendent Dr. Como this morning, and she told me that the way that program is configured, we can't just do part of it. Now, I'm not totally satisfied that that's a final answer, but that's what she seemed very definite in what she said. And that's why I've offered this amendment. I was hoping I wouldn't have to do that, but I don't seem to have any choice.
I don't know about the Anchorage schools, but I do know, as I recall, the Dillingham school is phase two. So there are some schools that are being done in phases in here. That's an alternative in the future, but that's Anchorage's choice.
Representative Grunberg, I speak against the amendment for two reasons. One, we already talked about the constraint placed on us by the administration. And
I don't want to risk a veto.
Subject. Oh, yeah. I'd remind the committee, the department led by Eddie will be back to us March next year with his report on the results of Senate Bill 2003. So this issue could be revisited once we know what the total obligation is. The other is, I looked at this, and I didn't pass this out, but not necessary, but this is a report of all of the indebtedness that's come under 2003, and it's some $720 million on this report. Anchorage, out of the $720 million, Anchorage has about $370 million in the pipeline. So there's a lot of work in Anchorage to do, some 50 projects. So I think they have enough to get through another year, revisit this, come back, because Representative Meyer's right. It's a big bite. It's a cork in the bottle. I think if we can leave it for now and ask the kids to get with a leaky roof for one more year, then you folks can come back and take another stab at it when we know what our obligations are take perhaps more global look at it through some sort of a bond.
Mr. Chair, I understand, and I'm not deluding myself or the committee on this. And part of the reason I'm doing this and I offered this amendment is to bring it to your attention. And I would be saying this, frankly, no matter where I lived in Anchorage. It's just important. It's as important as the schools, and I support what you're doing over in your part of the committee.
Okay, I'm going to take an objection. Is there other discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Guest.
Just a few comments. I appreciate the discussion and willingness to discuss it next year. It is difficult, and just to respond to Senator Huggins, Anchorage normally does phase its schools. So when the superintendent tells me for some reason that we can't phase on this one, I trust on it. It's not a policy not to phase. We always have phased, just in response to that. And the $370 million out of the $720, although it doesn't seem this way sometimes in the legislature, Anchorage does have half the population, and so we just have a lot of schools in Anchorage, and they're at a different phase than Mat-Su. Mat-Su needs new schools, and our schools need to be replaced. And that's why I think you're going to see more Anchorage projects coming, especially at the middle school level. We're getting the first new middle school in my lifetime, and Clark was the first middle school in Anchorage. So it's been there a long time. So I appreciate you keeping an open mind for next year. We will go back and try to figure out if there's any of the phasing of it, but it is a school that is falling down. And so anytime my friends from Fairbanks or the Matsua in Anchorage and want to go tour it, please give me a call, and we'll go over and meet the wonderful kids of Mountain View and East Anchorage, and you guys can see the school. Thank you.
Okay, any discussion on amendment number 2? I'll maintain my objection. Mindy, call the roll, please, on amendment number 2.
Senator Gruenberg?
Yes.
Senator Guest?
Yes.
Representative Kelly?
No.
Senator Huggins?
No.
Representative Meyer?
No.
Senator Wilkins?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Guest?
Before you go to amendment number 2, I was looking through this list, and it's, are we, it has come to my attention, I want to double check Northwest Arctic, whether that they have bonding authority in Northwest Arctic. Have we double checked that? Eddie?
Northwest Arctic School District, isn't that, that's organized?
Mr. Chairman, Northwest Arctic Borough School District is a borough school district. They do have the authority to bond, although they may have reached their capacity to bond, which is a different issue.
Maybe take an IDs for a second. Representative Gill just came in. Have we discussed what we're doing if people are already at their capacity?
All right. Let's see. Senator Huggins, would you please offer on my behalf amendment number 1, and I'll object for discussion.
Stand by.
Yep.
There we go. Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt Committee Substitute Senate Bill 73, draft version Sierra.
Stand by. Just want amendment number 1. Just move amendment number 1 for me.
Amendment number 1.
Okay, and I'll object for discussion. Thank you, Senator Huggins. This has to do with the 90-10-70-30. Eddie, would you just walk us through this and let us know how we're fixing our mistake, please?
Mr. Chairman, it was brought to my attention that there were actually two districts on your school debt reimbursement list that under the grant program qualify for 90% state funding with a 10% local match. And so we identified those two school districts as too many pieces of paper. One was Lake and Camden.
Northwest Arctic.
Yes, thank you.
That Dillingham was
Lake and Camden, right?
H and M.
So it was Lake and Camden and Northwest Arctic that under the grant program only are required to only make a 10% match. And so what this amendment does is offers them a 90% reimbursement under the debt program for those two districts.
Representative Gruenberg.
Going back to what Representative Jewell said, are they going to, through the chair to you, Mr. Chair, is Northwest ARC going to be able to participate in this?
Through the chair, it's my understanding that Northwest ARC is at their bonding capacity, and they will not be able to get bonds through the municipal bond bank at this point in time. That's my understanding.
If I can continue.
Sure.
Is there anything that we can do here through this amendment or another vehicle that would allow them to participate?
Through the chair, not through this program. You can give them the authorization, but
So the authorization will remain, and then if they later can qualify, then they can take advantage. They get their debt down, is that it?
Through the chair, as long as that happens prior to October 31st, 2006.
I see.
And Mr. Chair, they could actually get voter approval and department approval prior to October 31st, 2006. sell the bonds in a year or two after that. So there is an opportunity. I'm not saying that I know for a fact that they would be able to do that.
If I may.
Representative Group.
Is there any question, legal question, that they would legally be able to do that, not financially now, but legally? Do we have to put any language in this amendment or anything to ensure that that could occur?
Through the chair, legally, this piece of legislation gives them the authorization to issue school bonds and qualify for state reimbursement.
If I may, Mr. Chair,
if
that particular school district could do it, get voter approval, and then qualify, but just not issue the bonds prior to the end of October of next year. I assume other districts could do the same and spread it out if they wished.
Through the chair, that's correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to follow up on Representative Greenberg's questions. Eddie, you had said, yes, that's the case, and then you backed off of it a little. And I just want to make sure, because this is a pretty big deal, because we're in a sense saying, look, you have $6.5 million, but then they can't bond for it. So are we certain that they could pass? They could do everything before October 36th, and the bond bank will let them then bond later on when they have that capacity?
Through the chair, Senator Guest, I can't make any assurance the bond bank will allow anybody to bond. What I'm telling you is this piece of legislation allows that municipality to go to their voters, get approval, submit those projects to us for approval, and then it's up to them to figure out how to get their own financing, and then the state will participate in 70 or 60% reimbursement.
Representative Meyer. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to follow up on Senator Guest's questions here. So if they go through all the process of having the election, the voters approve it, they turn in their application, and they do all this by October of 2006, but yet they don't have their finances in place for another 2 or 3 years after that, are they still able then to get the money?
Through the chair, we give them up to 3 years after,
3 years
after we've approved it.
Okay.
To start that process.
So essentially, if I may, Mr. Chairman, they'd have up to four and a half years?
Almost 2009.
Okay.
I'm still not saying
that they'll be able to do it in that timeline. Okay. I don't know.
Understand. Senator Guest and Representative Greenberg.
Not to the amendment.
Just one question. Are there any school districts presently in this situation where they've gotten the voter approval, they've gotten the approval of the department, but they just haven't issued the bonds? I gather Anchorage has some.
Through the chair, there's a number of districts that have voter approval, department approval on bonds that were authorized under House Bill 2003 that they have not sold yet.
Okay.
But it's not because of this type of situation where they can't get anybody to fund them. They can't get the finance.
Thank you.
Other discussion on amendment number one. I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to adopting amendment number one? Seeing none, amendment number one is adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Guest.
Thank you. I wanted to ask a question, but it wasn't on amendment number one. Are there any other school districts that are on this list, which I think you have, which were that are at the cap, or where this would put them over the cap, so they would run into the same situation as Northwest Arctic?
Chair, Senator Guest, not that I'm aware of.
And we use the populations here, and there've been school district names. Are there any school districts that fall into the working draft that aren't represented on this list? Are there school districts between 1,300 and 1,500 district enrollment, such as Sitka, that would now have $7 million of bonding authority that could bond?
Through the chair, Senator Guest, no, I have gone through and double-checked all these enrollment criteria. and those are the districts that would qualify for each one of those allocations.
Okay, other questions? Representative Grunberg. Any other discussion on conference committee substitute as amended? Okay, so what we'd like to do, I would like to pass this from committee. Mindy and Sheila helped me with this. This piece of paper, if we would sign it, we're going to ask to have this conference committee substitute pass from this committee. And this will ask for powers, limited powers of free conference. This is the conference committee report that will be given to the speaker and to the president, which will report to them that we have met and that we've asked for limited powers. When granted, which we expect it to be, then we will adopt then this as amended conference committee substitute with hot off the press fiscal notes. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure we do this right. Any questions on what the procedure, and we'll walk through this, make sure we do it right. Senator Huggins, I would ask you to move conference committee substitute for Senate Bill 73, version S, from committee with the understanding that limited powers are needed and with attached fiscal notes.
Mr. Chair, so moved.
Mindy, is that a clear? I assume it's clear. Is there objection to passing conference committee substitute as amended with fiscal notes from committee? You see, I'll ask each of you to sign these. And is there anything else to come before the committee? Thank each of you for being here and for your hard work, Representative Meyer.
I just wanted to say the bill originally was the virology lab, which we it kind of got hijacked. But I think the virology lab is a good project, and I support it. And it sounds like it's going to be a good use and asset to the state of Alaska.
I just think it should go to North Pole.
North Pole.
I thank you for being a good sport and let us attach that amendment to us.
Here to serve. Yeah. So, Eddie, thanks for coming here on Monday night. Anything else come forth, committee? Thank you, everybody, for your work and for being here. We stand adjourned.